History at Hand, revision at your fingertips. In this podcast, we catalogue the events and look at the reasons why Hitler was able to create a totalitarian state in Germany. From becoming Chancellor on the 30th of January 1933, with only three members of the Nazis in the cabinet, he was soon able to assume much more complete control, and by August 1934, Hitler had become Führer. He had taken over the authority not just of Chancellor but also of President on the death of Hindenburg. Through ruthlessness, through luck, through cunning, through the underestimation of others of Hitler's powers, Hitler was able to assume this position. On becoming Chancellor, Hitler asked the President Hindenburg that new elections could be held. Hitler assumed that he would be able to gain a greater share of the votes, if not a majority of the German population. He was able to use his new authorities, particularly being in charge of the police in Prussia, to be able to intimidate political opponents and to be able to get the Nazis' message across more clearly and effectively by using the instruments of state. On the 27th of February, an amazing stroke of luck happened for Hitler. The Reichstag, Germany's parliament building, burnt down. It is still not entirely clear what happened on that night. A Dutch communist by the name of Marianus van der Lubbe was arrested at the scene and admitted to setting fire to the building. Many have since argued that this could not be the action of one single madman, but part of a concerted effort to achieve the burning down of such a great prestigious building. It seemed that there were certain links between van der Lubbe and the SA and other factions in the Nazi Party. Perhaps they had encouraged him to do it, or perhaps they had taken part themselves. We will never really know. What is key, though, is how Hitler reacted to this. Straight away, he saw this as part of a communist attempt to start civil war and revolution. Hitler was able to play on public anger against the communists. And as a result of this, he was able to persuade President Hindenburg to issue an emergency decree, the law for the protection of the people and state. This extended the powers given to the police to arrest known communists. They were to be detained without trial. Communist newspapers were shut down. Communist meetings broken up violently. Here Hitler could show how tough he was on communism. This persuaded much of the electorate that voting Nazi was the only real option if Germany was to be saved from revolution. In the March 1933 election, the Nazis won 288 seats. That was a 44% proportion of the electorate voting for them. Still, not an overall majority, but still the Nazis' greatest election result. This left 359 seats which weren't Nazi. Hitler wanted to change the German constitution to give him totalitarian dictatorial powers because of the emergency that Germany was in. To achieve this, he would need a two-thirds majority in the Reichstag to approve a change to the constitution. His first step was to gain an overall majority. He was able to do this when the Nationalist Party and its 52 seats decided to side with the Nazis. That swung more than half of the Reichstag behind Hitler. This increased Hitler's confidence. Then he could ban the communists and their 81 seats from the Reichstag. This left them very close to the two-thirds needed. Hitler then proceeded to put pressure on the other parties, particularly the Social Democrats, who held 120 seats. Using propaganda and the SA to threaten the members of the Reichstag, Hitler was able to pressure the Reichstag out of its own existence. The Enabling Act of the 23rd of March 1933 was voted for by 444 members of the Reichstag against only 94. Over 100 members were absent on the day. The act signalled the end of the Weimar Republic and the Weimar Constitution. It gave Hitler the power to pass laws without consulting the Reichstag and even without the approval of the president. This left Hitler in the position of dictator. There were no democratic channels left to challenge his authority. The Reichstag still met occasionally, in order to rubber stamp and approve what Hitler had done. Reichstag elections were even held in November 1923, but by that stage, every member had to be part of the Nazi Party. Hitler was now able to use his dictatorial powers to mould Germany in the way he wanted to. That meant getting rid of any opposition. In May, He abolished the trade unions and claimed that now it was the Nazi Party which represented the best interests of the German workers and gave them the May Day holiday in order to prove it. In June, the Social Democratic Party, previously the most important party, was banned. In July, a law against the formation of new parties was made. That meant that only the Nazi Party was allowed to contest elections in Germany from this point on. This made Germany a one-party state. Hitler during this time was also able to make sure that all members of the government would be Nazi. He made sure that the civil servants were loyal Nazis too. The Nazis ensured that local government was under their control throughout Germany. The same was true in the legal system. Jews were removed from positions of authority. Now, the only challenges left to Hitler's authority came from the army and from within his own party. By the summer of 1934, Hitler had a dilemma. Who should he support? The SA, the military wing of the Nazi Party, who'd supported him through his election successes and now were able to continue spreading the Nazi message throughout Germany? Or should he support the army? The army were mistrustful of the SA. They believed that having the SA joining the army or taking over the army would dilute the strength of the German military. The top brass in the army were suspicious of Hitler. After all, he was only a corporal when he served under them. They couldn't be sure what Hitler's intentions were. Hitler, though, knew he needed the army on side if he was to achieve any of his foreign policy objectives. To get them on side, he would need to invest in the military, but at the same time not allow the military to be taken over by the SA. To many, the SA had developed a reputation under its leader Ernst Röhm of being a violent, undisciplined group of thugs who listened to no one else's authority. Röhm himself believed his position was secure, that Hitler trusted him, and that he, with the SA behind him, was in an unassailable position. He also believed that German big business should be taken over and nationalized. This worried Hitler, who wanted to get big business on side in order to carry out his rearmament plans and restoring the German economy. Essentially, Hitler saw Röhm and the SA as a threat to his own power base, and so, on the 30th of June 1934, the Night of the Long Knives took place. Ernst Röhm and other SA leaders were executed. Hitler claimed they were plotting to take over Germany. He used the SS, the replacements of the SA, to carry out his actions. Hitler also used the opportunity to kill other potential rivals to him, like von Schleicher, the former Chancellor. Hitler claimed he had saved the nation. The Night of the Long Knives left Hitler's position within the Nazi Party unassailable, and, in some ways more importantly, it proved to the leaders of the army that Hitler was on their side and could be trusted. It was also a clear sign to big business that Hitler was not going to take over their industries. On the 2nd of August 1934, Paul von Hindenburg, the President of Germany, died. Hitler immediately stepped into his shoes and claimed himself the title of Führer. He would take over the President's authority in controlling the army, and he made all members of Germany's armed forces swear an oath of loyalty personally to Adolf Hitler. With this personal backing of all members of the armed forces, Hitler's position within Germany was unassailable. As we have seen, Hitler becomes a dictator through a series of actions which remove any potential sources of opposition to him. It can be argued that this happened because other politicians, particularly the President Hindenburg, underestimated Hitler's strengths. The democratic parties were too weak and divided within Germany to offer any effective alternative. Hitler was also able to show his ruthlessness, not just against political opponents, but also members of his own party. In establishing a totalitarian dictatorship, Hitler showed how he was going to lead from the front in Germany, how he was going to control and dominate society and take decisive actions. The one crucial act in the establishment of the dictatorship was the Enabling Act. This gave Hitler the power to rule Germany as he wanted to, without being questioned from other authorities. From that, he was then able to take authority over the army, over the rest of his party, over local government, over the civil service, and over all other political parties and institutions. In the exam, you may be asked to define some of the key terms that we have here, like Night of the Long Knives, or the Enabling Act, or the Reichstag Fire. Many of the questions on this will be source-based, of course, and maybe you'll have to explore and compare two different interpretations of the Night of the Long Knives, or the Reichstag Fire, for example. It's the essay questions which are most important, though. Remember, this is about the consolidation of power 33 and 34, not Hitler's rise to power. So you've got to make sure you are focusing it on those events of this particular period. Goodbye, and good luck.